Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, September 2nd. Oh, happy Labor Day, everybody. Huh? Why? Labor Day, no one goes to work. Is it Labor Day around the world? If it is, happy Labor Day to all of you guys out there, especially the ones that make all of our clothes. Huh? Everybody in the first world out there, come on. Let's have a nice round of applause for the six-year-old in El Salvador who made your little cargo pants that you're walking around the cookout with right now with your big stupid pockets. Your wife's rolling her fucking eyes going, why does he keep wearing those shorts he had in college? Oh, God, the 90s are over. Why doesn't he see it? Why did I end up jumping on his dick instead of that other guy's? That other guy, he became a doctor and he wears slacks now. For those of you around the world listening to this podcast, and my ego tells me that there is people around the world, you know, maybe somebody sitting in a bunker, right? Listening to this shit. Over here in the United States, we have something called Labor Day because we work so fucking hard in this country. That's why we're number one. You know why? Because we outworked all of you. You bunch of lazy fucking cunts. Actually, we didn't. According to Tom Brokaw, it was the greatest generation. They fucking did everything except raise their kids right. You know? They raised their kids right? Would they have reacted to the Vietnam War the way they did? Nah, they would have gone into the Pacific the same way they did in World War II. We got a job to do. It's got to get done. No one wants to do it. Fuck it. I'm volunteering. Right? They were so shell-shocked from that, they couldn't even look at their kids. And then their kids just grew up all spoiled rotten. And then all of a sudden, it was their turn to go. And then they were just like, hey, man, like, don't harsh the mellow, man. Right? And that was the beginning of the end. I'm telling you right now, if less people dodged the Vietnam War, you wouldn't have as many fat people in this fucking country right now. Okay? And if you can't do the math on that one, then you know what? I can't help you. That's one of my new things, is I just make stupid statements to people in bars, right, that connect in no way possible. And as I watch their forehead wrinkle up, I throw in, and if you can't do the math, then I can't help you. It's a fucking wonderful game because it puts somebody, remember when you were like in junior high, grade school, junior high or whatever, and kids first started talking about sex? And they would be like, do you know what this is? And you had no idea, but you didn't want to admit to it, you know, because you didn't want to be the kid who didn't know, even though nobody was fucking anything at that point, right? But you just didn't want to be the dummy. That's what I'm tapping into. All right? And if you can't do the math on that, then I can't help you. I'm telling you, and when you say I can't help you, you got to look away and just let them sit with that. You know, just sitting with it. But that didn't make any sense. Well, should I let it go? Is anybody else noticing that I don't know what it means? Anyways, Labor Day, I don't know what the history of it is. I'm sure I could look it up on Wikipedia, but so could you. You know? What am I, your fucking reader? Do you want me to do it? Because I will. I'll look it up right now. I'll fucking click on this right here, right? And then I'm going to type in Labor Day. L-A-B-E-R. It's B-O-R. Jesus Christ. Labor Day history. What is the history of Labor Day? You know, there's going to be something horrific. Labor Day's politics history begins with workers' strikes in 1890s. You knew it. You knew there was going to be some sort of bloodshed. Right? And then we all forget. Years later, we're just sitting around a fucking big green egg smoking a big pork shoulder, which is what I'm doing right now. Rose Bowl legend, Jason Lawhead, will be joining the... I should really clarify that. Rose Bowl tailgate legend. I keep calling us legends like we're actually out there playing the game. Oh, look at that. An advertisement for Hertz rental car. You know what? I think I'm actually going to switch to them. This is free advertising for those cunts. Because whenever I go to the airport and I'm waiting for fucking budget, those douchebags, I think they have one bus at every airport. And I've really tried to sit there and be like, okay, am I just impatient? And so I just started counting buses. And I got to tell you, Hertz and Avis, they got a lot of buses.
National and Alamo, they're kind of like, I don't know. They're from the other side of the tracks, you know. They didn't come for money, but they're working their way up. They got to share a bus, you know. But it's building character over there. There's a lot of character over at Alamo and National. But I'll tell you, budget wasn't raised right. You need to stay away from them. I've had it with those cunts. I've had it with them. I've been with them for fucking ever. I've had it with them. All right, Labor Day's political history begins with worker strikes in the 1890s. Yeah, this is when we had sweatshop labor over here, which is why we created unions, so that they would stop. And then the unions literally became the fucking thing that they were fighting, all right, leaning on shovels, some on break, and all that fucking thing, taking advantage of it. And then the corporate cunts said, oh, yeah, well, you know, good luck to you and your union. We're taking the factory to another country. Go on strike all you want. We're still making money. All right, there you go. Like the Maginot Line. They flew right over the fucker. So now here we are. All right? And that poor guy in Rage Against the Machine's got to bring his ukulele all over the fucking country to try and get the people of this nation refocus on what the purpose of a union is. Huh? Because all those, hey, man, people, they all had kids. They all had kids. All right? And then they joined unions. And then everything left. All right? And if you can't do the fucking math on that, then I can't help you. Feel that? I just walked away. I can't help you. Labor Day has fallen upon us once again. Oh, this guy. What a writer. Has it really fallen upon us? Has it graced itself graced ourselves with its presence? Is that how we say it? Labor Day has fallen upon us once again. I would love to look up the douchebag who wrote this and find out how many fucking articles he started that way. You know, just the way there's hacky stand-up comics, there's also hacky writers. Like, I refuse. Ooh, do you, Bill? Are you really refusing? Can you feel the world shaking in its fucking boots? Fuck you. I have my standards that I live by, I like to think. Piece of shit standards, but standards nonetheless. I refuse to read any celebrity interview that begins with what they're eating. I think that's the hackiest way to, I've met a zillion times. John Travolta, you know, breaks into some fucking medium rare steak wearing a smart button down. Shut the fuck up and just ask him what it was like to be in Dance Fever. All right? Just say, hey, I'm a star fucker, and I can't believe I get to sit across from this icon. It's amazing that when he eats, he also gets shit on his face. You wouldn't think that from an Oscar winner. All right, for most Americans, we're back to the article now. This means little more than the end of the summer. Oh, really? You're going to talk down to me right at the beginning of the fucking article? Joseph, for your fucking horn-rimmed glasses from the 80s? All right, for most Americans, this means little more than the end of the summer. Social season. Oh, well, you know, he's actually right, because I did have to look this thing up. Kids and college students alike return to school, leaving relieved parents to grasp some sense of normalcy. Oh, Jesus. Could you be more fucking dramatic? Cookouts flare on and friends get together for cool drinks after some outdoor fun. Was this written in the 20s? No, because there hasn't been anything racist yet. We're playing horseshoes. Back then, they probably used like a black guy. They just hammered his head into the ground and used him as like a stake. And nobody said anything wrong with it. Right? Isn't that how bad the racism was back then? I might be wrong on that one. I don't know. All right. Amid all the action, everyone seems to forget that Labor Day, what Labor Day is all about. Well, for the love of God, Joseph, can you get to the fucking point? We get it. You know what it is. And we don't. What an asshole. You know what? In his picture, he has his glasses on. But as I read this, I picture him taking them off right now to give me a little talking to. During the late 1800s, labor leaders decided that hardworking Americans deserved a holiday of their own. In other words, they felt them getting ready to storm the castle. This is the old bread and circus. After 1894's monumental Pullman Railroad strike, Congress decided to federalize this holiday. Ah, God. And let me guess, the fucking morons agreed to it. Hey, we wanted equal pay, and we wanted some decent hours. Hey, how about we give you one day off a year?
Is there going to be beer?
Of course there's going to be beer. All you can drink.
Oh, I don't know about that fellow. Sounds pretty good to me. He's a jolly good fellow. And that's the end of it. They completely lose their focus. The Pullman strike had such a wide-ranging implication that less than a week after it ended, the president that then, President Grover Cleveland signed the Labor Day Act into law. Now, if you can't fucking do the math on that, don't you see what's happening? This strike happened, and all the fucking blue blood douchebags with their top hats chomping on a cigar, walking around like the fucking penguin, they saw what was coming. People were like, we've had it. We're not going to take this anymore, and we're coming for you, you tuxedoed cunt on a Tuesday. How much money do you have that you're wearing that getup on a fucking Tuesday, right? Back then, they had spats, right? Showed up a big long car. They didn't try to hide it. So they saw what the fuck was coming. And then, you know, Grover Cleveland, so who's kidding who? How did he get in office? All those rich cunts, right? So they get him, hey, Grover.
You're supposed to call me Mr. President.
Grover, get in here. Waddle your fat ass in here, you cunt. Listen. Okay? If this shit, what happened at the Pullman strike, happened straight across this land, we're not going to have the money to keep the whores coming in to suck your dick while your wife's in the other room. Do you want that to happen? It was a rhetorical question. Just listen to us, okay? We need to have a fucking day off for these people. Just give them one fucking day off. We'll smoke a pork shoulder. We'll get them a bunch of beer. They'll be so fat and fucking hungover. They'll be good till Christmas. All right? Just do this for us so we can keep all the money. Can you just do that for us? Haven't we done enough for you? Your fucking name is Grover Cleveland, and we still got you the Oval Office. All right? We ready? On two. On two. Ready? Break. All right. Sorry. I don't need to read the rest of this. Isn't that what happened? Considering then both U.S. soldiers and federal law enforcement officers killed a number of strikers, this was the least that he could do. Oh, yeah. God forbid you protest that you're working fucking 900 hours a goddamn week. You know? Ah, Jesus Christ. See, this is before they had, like, fucking, you know, CNN and Fox News to spin it and all that type of crap. All he had was word of mouth going around. You know? I'm sure they had newspapers. They have newspapers. Could people read back in the 1800s? All right. I know I'm just sounding dumber by the second, but I think I made some sort of point in there. I like to think I did. Well, this is actually fascinating to me now. Let's read some more of Jason's article. Is that his name? Joseph. Sorry. Minimum wage laws were a long way off. And if one thinks the health insurance is bad now, it was non-existent then. Then there is the Gilded Age's near total lack of workplace sanitation and fair pay standards. Oh, yeah, like when they built like the Brooklyn Bridge, like they averaged like five guys dying a day, something crazy because they didn't understand the bends. And as they were bringing somebody up and they'd start to get it, they were like, bring him up quicker. He's getting sick. And then that would be it. That was it. Your dad went to work and he died. You know, there was no 60 minutes, you know, coming out to fucking help you. Ed Bradley or some shit. Is he still around? He died, too. A lot of people died on that show. Well, it's been around for 50 years, Bill. A lot of people died in the Brady Bunch at this point. No. Alice is still alive. I don't know about Sam the Butcher. Mike died. The dad died. Dad always dies. You know? Fucking working his ass off. Trying to drop some plans and fucking Florence Henderson coming in with the world's first mullet. You know? Where the fuck am I? Thankfully, scores of long-pressed laborers eventually got together and formed unions. As individuals, they were all but powerless to bring about the positive change. In large groups, though, they managed to secure the American dream, not only for themselves, but for generations to come. Throughout the 20th century, Democrats typically favored the interests of non-managed workers, while Republicans catered to administrators and business owners. Why do you got to throw the Hatfields and McCoys in there? You know, it's us versus the 5% of them. Okay, stop with the Yankee Red Sox shit. God damn it. Radicals in both parties often destroyed the chance for reasonable solutions to to complex financial problems, but moderate voices often prevailed. That should explain our country's economic success for most of the 1900s. Well, I imagine there's more to it than that, but what the fuck. So there you go, people.
There's a little ignorant history on this wonderful fucking day. And here we are, 120 years later, and I'm sitting around today doing a podcast, smoking a pork shoulder. I made a fucking apple pie. Oh, it's going down. Calories. Calories will be consumed on this wonderful day. You know what would be great is if somehow you could just eliminate greed, envy, jealousy, paranoia, lust. Basically the seven deadly sins. Okay? Look, I'm far from a fucking perfect person. Oh, Jesus. But it would be good. Just at least at that fucking level. You know, if everybody could be like, hey, you know, we're making enough money. Yeah, why we should, you know, give you health insurance. I love that whole fucking myth that if you actually treat workers decently, like a fucking T-shirt is going to cost $50. It isn't. In order for you to continue maintaining your fucking giant yacht, it would cost that. When I was a kid, you know, factories were just starting to go overseas, but they made a lot of shit here, and sneakers weren't the equivalent of fucking $200 or whatever the fuck they said that they were going to be. It's all bullshit. I don't buy a fucking word of it, and that's it. All right? I'm not going to talk anymore because at this point I'm probably even sounding more ignorant than usual, but my gut tells me I'm right. So go fuck yourselves. Woo! I just bailed out of that one, didn't I? Nice barrel roll right out of a fucking moving car. So most of you are probably asking, not most of you, but a lot of you, or maybe none of you, but none of you can call in to tell me you're not thinking this, so I'm going to go with this and say you are thinking this shit. You're probably wondering, what exactly is a pork shoulder? You're eating the shoulder of a pork? It's actually the pig's ass, but you would sell a lot less of them, I think, if you said, you know, pig ass, pig rectum. Some people will go pig butt. That's the closest they'll say. But yeah, we're eating the ass of a pig. We're smoking the fucker. And it's going to be delish. So anyways, let's get on with the podcast here, everybody. Did you watch any of the college football this weekend? Lawhead, come on in. Oh, look who's here.
I'll tell you, buddy.
Huh? Jump on. Wait. I got to give you a proper intro. You've never been on the podcast, right?
I've never been on the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have here the living legend. He's tipping the cap. I keep saying Rose Bowl legend. It's got to be Rose Bowl tailgate legend.
Tailgate legend.
Hall of Fame. Grab the microphone right there. Grab the microphone.
Scored a touchdown in a Rose Bowl.
But, exactly.
But we've built a program here. Because when we started this thing, it was ugly. It was bad. I mean, we were like
that
a D3
no, you weren't
on
even
probation.
There. You weren't even there the first tailgate. The first 2 years, you showed up to the second one, but you weren't cooking. You were at another
right,
one.
Right, exactly.
The first year, the only thing I remember was being drunk and Bartnick putting butter on the steaks with two fingers, with his index finger and his middle finger because we didn't have any utensils.
He's probably doing that today.
And I had this little hibachi. And I just remember I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to grill or anything like that. And I kept flipping the steak, and I heard this guy go, please stop flipping that steak.
Hopefully it was an Ohio State fan. Or no, that was the second year. I showed up
no,
during
this,
Ohio
this,
State
this was the first year. This is already how long we've been doing this and how I'm starting to feel like the old man over there. The first year we went there, it was USC versus Penn State. Fucking Mark Sanchez was quarterback for USC. Pete Carroll was still coach.
Wow.
Joe Paterno
hadn't been uncovered yet.
And well, I mean,
well, you know, he knew.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually did stand up for both teams down at the Improv. They had like this pre thing. So one night they had USC. One day they had Penn State. Joe Paterno was not there. I often wondered, was Sandusky there? I mean, granted, everybody there.
Well, he was off the staff by then. But
and everybody was shaving, so he wouldn't have been hanging around.
Do you think that if they got to another Rose Bowl after what all that has happened,
I gotta bring your mic down a little bit.
Sorry, do you think that Penn State would ever go to an improv comedy show like that now? Even, you know, just
yeah, I think
with the
they
risk
would. Because they're already on TV. And yesterday I caught myself going, oh, let's see how they rebuild this. And then I had to think, wait, rebuild it from the pedophile case. But they're already like, they're bringing Joe Paterno's statue back out. And, you know, they took it down like he was fucking Saddam Hussein. But I mean, dude, I don't want to get into that whole subject because I love the guy, but I just don't know, no matter what generation, no matter how old you are, how you, like, you know what it is, dude? It's power. It's it money. Is. It's the reputation. There was so much shit on the line that they tried to fucking how to handle it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Handle it in-house.
That's a whole other
Who knows? Subject. Let's not even talk about that.
We got a but pork anyway. Shoulder right now.
Yeah,
so. Smoking.
So they, so that first year, I didn't even think we had cigars. We might have had cigars, but dude, we got absolutely fucking annihilated. I think all we had was the steaks or maybe burgers. Okay. I can't fucking remember. All I remember, dude, I was so, because you got to understand, when you guys go there, like, you help with the drinking with Bartnick. I was going like one-on-one. Yeah. Like, if Bartnick was a wrestler, we'd have to all come running in from the locker room to try to take him down. But I was sitting
like
there.
That mud wrestling scene from Stripes when everybody, all the girls had to go take down John
Candy.
Yeah,
beat the shit out of him, Ox.
Yeah.
I actually saw that actor who played Psycho. In
Francis Sawyer.
Yeah, I saw him in an episode of T.J. Hooker. T.J. Hooker, some of the worst acting ever. Yeah. And he's still great. He's still great in it. He just was a fucking great
Adrian
actor.
Adrian Zemeth.
Is that what his name was?
No, the other guy, his partner. Hooker's partner, the good-looking guy, the young guy.
Oh, who played an Italian, but
he was terrible.
He was Armenian.
Yeah, he was like Eastern Bloc.
And he played Romano was his name.
Yeah, I mean, his last name started with a Z. He wasn't Italian.
Yeah.
Like, his real last name was like a Z-Y-M-T, and then it was like a...
Well, you have to watch it, because they never call him TJ. They just call him Hooker. The whole time, so that they'll be like when TJ's in a difficult situation, they'll be trying to find him out, and they got the walkie-talkie going, Hooker, Hooker, and it's just like that. I heard Hooker from the day I was born, so like why, how the fuck did that get on the air? Like why wouldn't you just pick something else?
And that's probably why they just threw the TJ in the title, so they could just have the TJ, but knew that they were.
Yeah, but they
call
never
Hooker
used
the
it.
Time.
They
yeah,
never used they it.
I don't think you could get away with like Hooker Friday Night, Hooker on CBS. Everybody, although that would everybody would have watched.
No, but I'm saying the characters could have said fucking could have said like TJ, right? TJ.
TJ.
That's still bad.
That is bad. Just
call him Tommy.
Tommy Hooker.
Thomas. So he needs more of a manly name.
We built this program to what it is today. I mean, this is like.
Now it's
Spurrier-esque from where it started to now we're smoking meats.
Oh, the day starts with the omelet.
Oh, yeah,
starts with a heater. Who's kidding? Cool.
The heater.
Starts off with a whiskey. Then you have
I
a fucking
omelet. 100 of these. Yep. Joe Bartnick. I could drink 100 of these. I love when he does that. Literally, Joe Bartnick, after his first sip of whiskey, when it hits his lips, he looks around everybody in this like strong, whispery voice. I could drink 100 of these. And then the day's on. And he loses his ticket and then waits for us at the game.
Oh, I don't even know if I even brought that up from last year. That was the worst fucking... That was like the Willem Dafoe moment in Platoon. Left him behind. Somehow, he lost his ticket. He got pickpocketed.
Things are so big, he put them in his back pocket. And I think, because I walked to the stadium with him. You guys were a little ahead of us. Because he was moving slow. You know, Joe's a big dude. He had about... 100 of these in him.
Right.
And so I was kind of like staying his pace, like helping him. And then we get to the gate and he goes right to his back pocket and it's gone. And I'm like, I looked at that. I'm like, ah, we walked around. But it was one of those things like if somebody had their game on and they saw that thing sticking out of his back pocket, if he's just, you could just, I mean, those crowds, you swipe it and you're gone.
Or if it just fell on the ground, pick it up, you just go scalp it or something.
Like the size of a,
yeah, so he had to stay outside. That was the fucking worst. Hey, is it true that they don't sell booze at the Rose Bowl?
No booze at the Rose Bowl. That's we're so in the
I never noticed
sheets
that.
By then that we don't even
Five
care.
5 years in, I never noticed.
Yeah, they don't sell booze.
Hey,
at the
I got to do. I got to do a couple of advertising right here. If you're just tuning in, I like to say that like this is actual radio station yeah. rather than people downloaded it. We're
the
talking
score is 3-2
to
in the tenth.
Rose Bowl tailgate legend, Jason Lawhead. He's over here smoking a fucking pig's ass. All right. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. There are so many things in this world that irritate me. People with neck pillows, people who ride bicycles and don't get over and feel like I have to drive as slow as them because they want to go out on a ride. My own cowardice. That annoys me. When so many things can irritate you, why add razors to that list? It's time to stop milking your razor blade, everybody. I know with the brand name razors, you're used to paying outrageous prices and exhausting those razors until they start to look like a rusty soda can. Well, listen, it's time to move on, goddammit. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades to your door just for a few bucks a month. Never think about it again. They send a pack every month. Why don't they ever have month in the damn copy? It says they send a pack every so you can change your blades every week. They send a a pack every month. All right. I love these guys, and your face will love them too. They also have a new product called One Wipe Charlie's. Jay, I swear to God, I refuse to believe this is real. It's a butt wipe for men.
Come on.
And it's classy.
It's classy? How could
anything... Wait. And he goes, check out the video for that and sign up for your razors today.
What? This is like the Columbia.
You know what it is?
This is like the Columbia House of razors. This company is like.
No, they're great, dude. This is like the poor man's bidet. You know, you can't afford the sprayer water.
But it's classy.
It's classy, which means it's a nice thickness, so when you wipe it, it's not going to tear and make your fingers all shitty over there. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/burr. That's dollarshaveclub.com/burr. Or go to billburr.com and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner. Hey, the lady in your life's going to love you. You're going to have a nice clean shave, and you're going to have a clean bottom, you friggin' animal. All right. Hulu Plus. I'm sure you've tried Hulu.com. If you haven't, you're a loser, and I want you to know that came from my heart. But I want to tell you about Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you watch thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. Stream it on your TV or go with your smartphone or tablet. Why stand in line or ride a train and just stare at your feet? You could be watching your favorite shows on Hulu Plus or hitting on the hot chick standing next to you, but whatever floats your boat. Hulu Plus is a great way to binge watch your favorite shows. Hulu Plus has tons of episodes from great comedies like SNL, Community, Modern Family, South Park, Family Guy, and thousands of other shows. Hulu Plus is only $7.99 a month, you cheap bastards. $7.99 for all the shows and movies you can watch. Catch up on current shows, binge on old favorites, or catch a great movie. You can do it all on Hulu Plus. Right now, you can try Hulu Plus for a couple of weeks free on me. When you go to the podcast page, billburr.com, and click on the Hulu Plus banner, or go to huluplus.com/bill. That's as easy as it can get. Please make sure you use huluplus.com so you can get an extended free trial, and so they know that we sent you. All right? Makes me a little bit of cashish, and it makes your viewing pleasures go through the roof, I guess. Is that what I'm trying to say? All right. And we're back to the podcast here, everybody.
You turned into like the Paul Harvey of podcasters now. You're
what
doing
do you
like live spots, like right in the middle, you know, like Paul Harvey. Now, that was actually your, you know, Charmin tissue paper. Charmin tissue. And then he'd go right, and now the rest of the story.
Charmin tissue, wrap a Jap in it and light him on fire. It's 1945. Back then when they would do like the promos for the war. I was watching all this ever since I've been reading these World War II books and stuff, and just watching some of those propaganda films that they have. Like, dude, like the war, they would actually show like literally like war crimes. Like strafing, I guess, was considered a war crime, which is basically if you had people like defenseless in the water after you shot down their ship or whatever, shot down the ship, torpedoed their ship, they would just see the survivors in the water and they'd come.
And they would show that.
How they do it to us? It was brutal. It was war, man. It's fucking brutal. But what kills me is you think they try to keep it quiet, but they were describing one showing strafing in a movie theater. The crowd was going nuts. And he goes, there they are, boys. Let them have it. And then he goes, they deserve it.
It's like Phil. It's like a Phil Hartman sketch. You know, and you got, and they got the like the they always had the music behind it too, like the da 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 da, like the happy like parade music.
Oh yeah. While they're da 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 da. Oh, absolutely. No, I at the risk of repeating myself from last week, like both sides viewed each other like they were animals. Like they thought that we bled green blood and we had tails. And I don't know. We said we both said they each side was devils. They said, you know, if the Americans come, kill yourself because they're going to eat you and all this type of stuff. And they were actually committing acts of cannibalism. Dude, I read this book, Flyboys. I'm telling you, there's a chapter in there. Like, I had to set it down and walk away for a little bit and then plow my – because it was such a good book. Just that one chapter on that. Dude, it was – I don't know. We're smoking a pork shoulder. I don't need to be talking about this shit.
Smoking a pork shoulder. We're going to be making some coleslaw, bro. Coleslaw.
Yeah, but I don't need to be talking about fucking cannibalism. If you had to eat a person. Mm-hmm. All right, Jay, I got to ask you this. What's the body type you would be looking for? You wouldn't want...
Survival or enjoyment? Like if I had to like string it out, or like if I had to like stock my shelf. Well, let's, or if I just really wanted a nice, put on a nice suit and
I don't
enjoy.
Want you to go Hannibal Lecter. I want okay. you to be, let's consider for a second that I'm surprised at that reaction, but let's just say you're a
decent. You know what I mean? Like, is it one night out or is it I'm on an island? If I'm on an island, I'll take John Goodman. If I'm, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but, okay, John Goodman would be nice and marbled.
Yeah.
There'd be a lot of flavor in that.
A lot of flavor.
You got an athlete, it's going to be too tough.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. That's why I ask. And then
you got to get that. You know what? You're the best one you got. You got to get that married guy who used to work out, but now he's got four kids. I figured that would be
Travolta.
That would be the best eats.
He's like the nice middle of the road kind of a guy.
Yeah, and he used to dance.
Yeah, he's a dancer, but he's still sleeping soft in areas where you can taste really good. You know what I mean? Like his nose. You think like now is like his nose or his double chin would taste really good? Like that'd be like a snack.
No, that's too exotic.
That's like the pig hoof.
No, pig cheek. I ate it one time and I started like sweating. After my body was just like, "What kind of fucking meat is this?" No, you gotta go with the.
So having nightmares for like a month straight.
Yeah, you gotta go with Travolta's pork shoulder.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with this. Philip Seymour Hoffman, or John Travolta. Like, John Travolta would be more like an aged steak. This is probably so fucking disgusting.
And I think Philip Seymour Hoffman, you'd have to do a lot of cleaning. Like, you'd have to clean it. Like, Travolta looks like he waxes, so you wouldn't have to go off that. You wouldn't have to, like, you know, chop so much of the hair off. You know? Like, if you kill a bear compared to a deer, you have to really work the bear over.
All I'm thinking right now is Louis De Palma. Let's get out of this. Hey, you're a big college football fan. What'd you watch this weekend?
Well, obviously, I was in Vegas this weekend. I watched my Buckeyes. We didn't look great, but got some work to do on defense. Number two in the country.
Oh yeah,
can't wait. We might be seeing them.
Got yourself out of the hole real quick, like that guy in the Viagra commercial when he hooks the truck up to the horse, right?
Well, we got Urban Meyer. That guy goes everywhere. That guy goes, he wins. I mean, his winning percentage is ridiculous. It's like 870. I mean, he had an undefeated season at Utah one year.
I'm not as deep as you. Now, he's not the guy who was there when they got suspended. He left, right?
Dressel's gone.
The white-haired guy. Yeah, oh, that's right.
Dressel's gone. We had the defensive coordinator was like, I interviewed him for 1 year. Thank God Meyer got sick of his family after a couple of years. I want to spend time with my family. Yeah, well, luckily they were annoying and he's back on the scene. You know what I mean? And, the guy's got two national titles. He probably could have won one, in Utah if it was before it was prior BCS, you know, Alex Smith, he recruited Alex Smith, you know,
why did I hear like they're getting rid of the BCS? Like this is the last year.
Yeah, they're going to go to that Final Four type thing. They're going to go to finally like a somewhat of a playoff.
Oh, you
got to
play two games? Oh,
yeah, you're going to basically have a Final Four, an NCAA football Final Four.
Do you know how huge that's going to be?
It's going to be ridiculous. And, you know, most of the games will be played right here in our backyard, right here. I mean, idiots not to use Pasadena for that.
That's going to be amazing. Well, I got to tell you, I watched my LSU Tigers playing the TCU.
You go Frogs.
Come on, Frogs. TCU. Frogs. Hey, you know what's funny is I couldn't find the fucking game because I kept looking up LSU and all I saw was versus Texas Christian University. And I'm so dumb. I didn't know what they all. They never said it the whole game. They didn't go, come on, Texas Christian University. They went, TCU.
Go Frogs.
Come on, Frogs!
That was the game we saw them against Wisconsin. That was the game when we basically knew then we had to up our game in the tailgate realm. It was that TCU-Wisconsin game. Like, was that two, 3 years ago?
Yeah, and that guy
ago?
Next to us had the flat-screen TV
and
the generator.
That's when we were like, dude, what are we doing? We thought we came more prepared from the year before, which was, right? And then we were
last year, the first time we had people looking at our tailgate going, see, those guys, they're doing it right.
People were coming over every time I lifted that thing.
Another big one is women. When women start looking over going, they got up. Because women don't forget anything.
No. Yeah, we had like moms, like Wisconsin moms coming over going, what are you cooking? Like every time I live there, what is that? People were like kind of like trying to be nice to us to see if we'd offer them some when it was done. Like, get them.
It was great. He's the greatest singer. But I watched the LSU TCU game, and I got to tell you, man, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year for us. This is my team.
I love this.
But I got to tell you,
Boston.
Well, dude, who am I going to root? BU got their football program; they're gone.
Yeah.
And BC, I never was a. I liked their hockey, but I just was never into the football team. I just was never into them. I never liked the uniforms.
Well, yeah,
I just did that maroon with the gold. I just never.
And they're
got
good
into
every one, like once every 10 years, every.
Oh, they did an amazing job. We had some great coaches there. The fucking guy there with the rosacea on his face from the windburn.
Oh, Tom Coughlin.
Yeah.
We had him. When it's not in season, I can't remember anybody's fucking name. But anyways, we got that Mettenberger guy at quarterback, and now they're not switching off. He actually looked really fucking solid. They got Cam Cameron now in as the QB coach.
Dude, everywhere that guy's
Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, and what's his face? Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl last year. He coached all of those guys, so I feel good about that. They got this new kid, Ego Ferguson.
It's great, isn't it? SEC
what
names are the best.
What a fucking great name. Anthony Johnson, both those guys were beasts yesterday. And then they're saying that, you know, the receivers are all right. Odell Beckham's all right.
That's going to be a good year in the SEC because, I mean, obviously, that's what we're doing here. We're doing Spurrier ball.
If LSU didn't have that one fumble, that blue kid, I don't know whose fault it was, but dropped it right there and just basically gave him 7 points. But TCU actually looks strong.
They're a good team.
And their fucking uniforms are great.
Yeah, it was black on, like,
did you hear what,
black
what,
on blue.
Why they had that, no, it's purple. With
well,
the,
purple, black on purple, yeah.
But why they had the, that red stripe?
No.
Because I guess when the horned toad or whatever the fuck it is, the horned frog, when it gets mad and it gets upset, blood comes out of its eyes.
Really?
Yeah, so that's what that's supposed to be.
We got to see one. I got to see one of those in real life. I've never seen one in real life. Like, are they at zoos or do they exist? They do.
Well, how you do the sign that they have is it's the Fred Sanford.
The
I got the arthritis hands. You do
I
that.
Can't. I can't work. I can't pick it up.
Hey, do you need to check on
that
temperature?
Yeah, let me check on that shoulder.
All
right,
man.
I'll be back.
And then come back. So anyways, so I am now referring to LSU as my team. Just because, I don't know. I just did that acting gig down there, and I got to tell you, I actually miss New Orleans. New Orleans, however the fuck you say it. I was there long enough to see the regular people, where they live, in those fucking awesome houses. I got to tell you, the humidity is for the fucking birds. But I don't know. I really liked it. And I actually was getting into the Saints. It was just a fun town. Party town. People like to booze. I like to booze. People like sports. I like sports. You know, the only thing was missing was a fucking hockey team. And then I liked the fact that they named that team the Pelicans and everyone was giving them shit, including me. And they were starting to fucking bond over the fact that nobody liked their name. And I don't know. I spent too much time down there and I fell in love with the fucking city. Go ahead. Sue me. So when Lawheads comes back, we're going to talk about our upcoming trip out to Denver. What am I going to talk about now? Is it time to get into the questions? Oh, fuck, 37 minutes in. Let's get into the questions for this week, everybody. Syria, General Billy Patton. Here's what's going on in Syria. I love that he starts with that. In other words, I kind of fucked up whatever I said was going on last week. So here's the real deal, I guess. Assad is killing his people. Now, that's the Grand Poobah who's in charge over there. He's killing his people. Not all of his people, just the people that don't like him and anybody who's standing near him, I think. Anyways, equally terrible rebels, some of whom are Al-Qaeda, are now going to be supported by the U.S. military. Now, you're probably wondering, well, why would we support anything that Al-Qaeda is doing? Because it's a money thing. I guess this Assad isn't doing what we want him to do, so we're going to try and support the fucking the Marlins. Right? Did that work? Did the Marlins suck this year? I have no idea. Anyway, estimated up to 1.5 million civilians have been displaced. That means homeless, I guess. So now we're going to bomb Syria, but also target some of Russia's shit in Syria. Yeah, because they're supporting the Assad guy. What's my call? Well, I got to tell you, Russia is the 6-9 team that nobody wants to play. I mean, why the fuck do I know? I don't know what's going on over there. I don't know who's... I know that the only reason why we're over there is because of fucking money and something that comes out of the ground. Other than that, we don't give a fuck. All right? We didn't give a shit about the people in New Orleans. Why would we give a shit about them over there? It's all about fucking... I don't know. And whether that is the proper way to do it or if that's an evil way of doing what goes on around the world, I have no idea because I've never sat in a meeting in the Pentagon. So I have no idea what's going to go on over there. I feel bad for all the innocent people sitting there in the crossfire, and I feel lucky that I can lay in a bed and do a podcast right now and eat some fucking poor pig's ass. That's all I got for you, sir. What's my call? Well, it's an uphill battle. I'd have to say, I mean, it's a home game for Assad,
And now that they brought in the Russians, I mean, well, they don't have the greatest record. They beat the fucking Germans. That was great. They just backed into their own country and just burned and blew up dams and bridges and all that. They fucking raped their own goddamn country. So the Russians would have nothing to fuck. They drew them in, and then the winter came, and then that was it. They did the old rope-a-dope before fucking Ali. So you got to give them that one. But then they lost in Afghanistan. That's always a hard thing, though. When you got a road game in the game of war, that's such a fucking hard one to win because the occupying game. Because they know eventually you're going to fucking leave, right? Eventually, you know, your soldiers are going to want to go home, right? Sit down, have a fucking sandwich, and get any, I don't know. Find love and get on with their fucking life. So that's, I don't know. Afghanistan, that's a tough one, man. You know what they are? They're like the Chargers in the first round of the playoffs. Just a very, very dangerous team. So what's my call? I think it's going to cost billions of dollars. It's going to make a couple people $1 billion, and everybody else is just going to be suffering. That's what I think is going to happen, and it's probably going to ruin some of the environment. That's my call. More of the same, sir. And it's just going to breed more hatred, and it's not going to solve anything. That's what I think. All right? Onward and upward towards new levels of misery. All right. Grass-fed steak. They're Bill Bunches. You talked about juicing and all that. Have you switched to grass-fed steak? Switched to it? I've been eating it the whole fucking time. I do 2 juices a day, and then I throw down for dinner. Right? I eat like a yoga instructor for the first 2 fucking meals, and then I eat like John Wayne. So, well, it's better than doing it 3 times a day. Anyways, he said it's amazing. It tastes like steak tasted like 15, 20 years ago before they started pumping the cows full of everything. Well, I think they've been doing it longer than that, haven't they? There's a company called Grass-Fed Beef Company that Rogan talked about and had the owner on his podcast. I highly recommend. I highly recommend the Joe Rogan Experience podcast because it's the exact opposite of this one, where I just say shit with no facts behind it, borderline makeup stuff. He actually, he got a TV show on about Joe Rogan questions everything. So, this is like, I do what I do on this podcast is kind of like, you know, when you had what you thought was a cool teacher and then years later you realized he was completely irresponsible and wasn't doing his job / maybe trying to fuck one of the students. That's what I do here. What Rogan does, Rogan actually teaches the class. He earns his paycheck. All right. There you go. Probably just lost some fucking listeners. But you know what? Every once in a while, even I have to tell the truth, you know? Back to school. Mr. Burr, do you miss going back to school? I miss the social aspects of it. I miss if I could have appreciated going back to school, especially if you're in like a public school, that's like going to a club with no cover charge. And every woman is in there is single and is in their prime. You know, as are you. All the guys have full heads of hair, right? All the ladies, yeah, they're looking good. I mean, it's just a fucking shooting fish in a barrel. You don't need no opening lines or anything. What's your sign? But you know, you've been going to school for fucking ever. I got to do, hey, you know, just shoot the shit with them. I wish I knew that. I did not know that. Hence, I was a complete failure in that department. Anyways, he goes, I'm 31, and every year around this time, I think about how fun it was to go back to school. Despite the fact that I hated summer ending and didn't want to be in class, you knew you didn't have a choice and focused on the good things, like which girls are going to come back hot. Will there be a new hot girl in school? I'm glad I get to see the girl I had a crush on last year but didn't see all summer because I was a nerd and had no balls. What do you miss? Yeah, I miss all of that. I miss running into my friends. Because back before you even had a car, like you wouldn't see even most of your friends all summer. I missed out on a lot of shit. That's like when Star Wars came out. And we didn't have, we only had 3 channels. And we didn't have the ones that the kids watched, the UHF stations. And I guess that's where they advertised it. I don't know. We were living in a bubble.
I went outside every day, played in the woods, played sports, went swimming. I completely missed out when Star Wars came out. And when I got back to school in September, everybody was talking about it, and I had no idea what anybody was talking about, and I just had to kind of like just stand there, and then people realized that I wasn't contributing. You know, I felt like Steve Carell in fucking 40-Year-Old Virgin when he's talking about feeling up a girl, saying it feels, yeah, like a bag of sand. You know, when he said that, like that's what I had nothing. And so finally somebody asked me, they're like, you know, Bill, did you see Star Wars? And I was like, no, actually I didn't. And then all the little kids, oh my God, you didn't see it? What a fucking loser. And that was it. And I got trashed. I literally got trashed for the rest of recess. What's wrong with your parents? And blah, blah, blah. And I just wish, like, that's one of the things. I wish I could go back to certain parts. Jay Lawhead's back, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
We're talking about going back to school here. And by we, mm-hmm. I mean me and my listeners who aren't talking. And just saying things that you missed. Are there any moments that you wish you could go back to in school to just have that fucking comeback? You know, when somebody gave you shit or maybe beat the shit out of somebody or maybe fucking asked the girl out. The regrets. Anything.
That's a good question. You know what? One big regret I have is that my parents always had, one of them always took me to school. That wasn't cool.
To what?
Like, because my parents were all the way. My dad was my senior government teacher.
Oh my God!
I rolled into high school with my dad every day.
Oh, Jesus! Oh, yeah. But there must have been some girls thought that was cute.
They did, because my dad. Yeah. All the girls thought my dad. They like. There was a couple girls that like had shrines to my dad. He was kind of a good looking guy for his age back then. He had the power. You know how the guys when you had the power.
Jay's dad, by the way, is a Hall of Fame high school basketball coach.
Great guy. You met him, but he had that power, unbelievable mystique, guy. But he was also a sharp looking guy. He was a good dresser. He's kind of like a Pat Riley, Chuck Daly of his era. He was uh-huh. always a sharp dresser, good head of hair. So there was a one girl in my class. I won't name her because if she's listening, she's a
yeah, don't never, don't name names.
No, but she had like I discovered this my junior year. She had a shrine of my dad because he was the coach. So there would be newspaper articles or anything she cut out of like our school paper. She opened her locker one day. And there was a shirt, like pictures of him from the newspaper, pictures of him coaching, pictures of him from the thing. Like she was like,
and
like,
what did you do?
Seriously,
you just like,
it
hey,
was creepy.
You know, I'm kind of half him.
Yeah, I'm like, exactly.
That's got to be worth a hand job.
I'm one of
something.
Seven of him. I'm a seventh of him. I hope. But like, so it was just kind of creepy. But I think the one thing is, I was held back in the fifth grade. This is like kind of a joke.
Why?
I tell.
Because it's
kind of a troublemaker. But the thing was, is like a little bit of like a troublemaker, not doing my work, getting in with the wrong crowd type thing. But the joke was, is my
drugs?
Mom. No. I was just like, you know, like, you know, getting sent to the office a lot, being, you know, sent in the corner. I was fifth grade. I mean, I wasn't doing drugs.
You know, I got held back in first grade, but not because of me. My brother was going to borderline get held back in third grade. And then my
they
dad.
Didn't want you catching him.
And no, my dad just had this one for all for one kind of thing. So he held everybody back and then just felt like boys aren't as mature as girls. They should be held back. So he held all of us back.
Yeah, that's part of why I was like the maturity level of just being a, I was the youngest.
And you know what's funny is I still completely fucking screwed up in high school. Dude, I actually went back to my parents' house a few years ago and, you know, I was getting the last remaining shit out of there. And my mother doesn't throw anything out. And she had some of my report cards. Dude, it was fucking ridiculous. It was C's, D's, and we didn't have F's. They were called E's. I don't know why.
Yeah, I had C's. I was like...
C's, D's, like the high watermark maybe was a solid C. And it was just D+, D-, D, E, E.
And you're a smart guy.
Huh?
You're a smart guy. I mean, that's like interesting. Like, no, you're a smart guy. I mean, you're not a genius, but you're a smart guy.
Yeah, it's, no.
From what I know, I was. I do a joke
in that I know what I'm good at, and what I'm good at is being a loudmouth fucking idiot. And somehow, thanks to this business, I'm able to turn that into a living. But if I was in anything else, I was always a good. I got a good work ethic for my parents, but I trust me, dude, I failed at a lot of shit, a lot of shit.
Yeah,
I just wanted to have fun, dude. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to work.
I didn't mind working, but it had to be fun. That's why I liked working in warehouses. I like blue collar jobs because there was this thing where you were working, but you weren't in like this office or this cubicle. You weren't in this designated area. It switched. You had different job sites, and everybody was fucking funny. Like, I had a buddy of mine. He did construction, and I went over to his job site one time, and dude, they were the funniest motherfuckers, and they had like catchphrases. They had this thing what they would do if anybody bitched. They would just like, someone would be like, you know, where the fuck is my nail gun? Blah, blah, blah. And you hear somebody all on the other side of the house just go, wah! And do like this baby thing, this wah thing. And that's what they would get. Because what they were doing was this unbelievable, it was a fucking bitch of a job. So what it is, you just saw how humor worked. Because if he starts bitching, everybody bitches, then you're just doing this job and you got this negative thing.
Down,
So it was this way to, because anybody would do it, they would start fucking laugh. Everybody else would start fucking laughing. You'd be in 90 degree heat, putting a fucking roof on a house, just hating your life. Dude, I remember one time I lasted 10 days doing this shit before I went back to the warehouses. I was fucking working with these guys and we were putting a roof on something. And I had to put like the scaffolding, like the supports up, drilling holes in and fucking, you know, hanging on the side of the house so they could put the board across it so they could do the fucking, the roof. And I remember next door was this house with a backyard with an in-ground pool. And these two fucking hot chicks are bringing out shit. And there's these two guys, fucking Jersey Shore looking guys, laying out, right, and enjoying their fucking summer. And I was just sitting there going like, what the fuck is wrong with this picture? And I remember one of them at one point was looking up, watching us work. And like, he was just one of those good-looking, shredded guys. So he didn't have a fucking ounce of guilt.
Nah.
Not an ounce. Where I would actually, in shame, gone back into the house like, I don't want to be enjoying the pool with those guys working like that. This guy was just fucking like, you would have
turned the radio louder.
Dude, you would have felt like we were making the roof for him. He just fucking owned it. And I'll tell you, that guy, he has no regrets from his childhood. He crushed, you just see it. This guy's crushing everything. He was this fucking beautiful guy. That's funny, I still remember that. And there was this Irish guy, Billy, you must work quicker. You must work quicker. And at one point, I got mad. It's like, dude, this is the first time I fucking ever put these up. If you want me to go faster and you land on your fucking back, I'll do it. You know, wah! You know, that type of shit.
I've never had a real job. That's what the one thing I've loved about my life so far is I've never had one of those jobs where you just hate every day, like, you know, going into. I've always either worked in the restaurants or, you know, hard labor, worked out on the highway crew, worked out a little construction, more of a laborer. I didn't know how to build any,
right,
carrying the shit. But those kind of guys, you're right. Those kind of jobs are where you meet really funny people that, you know, appreciate the things that they get when they get them because they're working their ass off.
Dude, do you know one time, like, we had a guy who worked and the guy was a total fucking alcoholic, like cokehead maniac. And one time he showed up. Like, I swear to God, like, he was supposed to be the 8:30, showed up like 10:30, 10:45, and he comes in all bleary-eyed, and his fucking hair was soaking wet from a shower, and he just comes walking in, and he goes, oh, the traffic was brutal. His fucking hair was soaking wet, dude. His eyes looked like road maps, right? He's big, like, it was funny. He had, like, this, he was a big guy. But he never worked out. It was just all calories from his awful life. And he had this limp fish handshake. He had skinny arms and skinny legs and just this keg of a chest. You know, and one of those guys just keeps pushing the pants down and tightening the belt.
Sure.
So he fucking – so we just used to keep giving him shit. This is before, like, being an alcoholic was considered, like, a sad disease. So I remember we were going to get donuts that day. And fucking hilarious. We go, hey, you know, Paul, you know, I can't say, I just said his name, Paul. Paul, you want anything from Dunkies? We're going to Dunkin' Donuts. You want anything? You want to, you know, and back then they had muffins, they had donuts and that type of shit. And he just goes, nah. And somebody goes, how about a donut? No, I'm good. Muffin? Nah, I'm good. Coffee? No, I'm good. And then this other guy goes, how about a rum cake? We all fucking laughed our asses off at the guy. Long story short, he finally ends up getting fired. And he left one of his – remember Shackets? It was a jacket and a shirt. It was basically like a flannel shirt with like a lining.
Yeah. It had the –
Yeah, Shacket. So he left that thing behind. And this one dude – you talk about like a funny bastard and like – but really like artistic. He took all these empty boxes and made like a giant statue of the guy out of the boxes. And he put the jacket on it and he drew these bleary eyes. And he put like this mop and thing on top. Dude, we fucking came in. Even the boss, we were fucking howling at this drunk that we didn't even try to help.
We just fired the guy, sent him out on the street, and then we just made that. We laughed our asses off, and we left it up for like fucking like this shrine. It was up for like 2 weeks, and then finally the boss was just like, "We're running low on boxes. You gotta fucking take that thing down, dude." We had this other guy. I feel bad about this one. This guy, we hired this guy, and the boss thought it would be a good idea to hire somebody that was a little bit older to try to get some sort of fucking maturity. Because, dude, we just did all this dumb shit. Like,
you didn't care about your job. You just did dumb shit.
We had like these things that we would do to get through the day. I remember there was this guy. Hey, what bin is this thing in? And it was 7:37. And he kept going 7:37, and the guy, what? And he finally jumped off these boxes and did like this karate thing and went, wah, 7:37, as loud as he could. And then one day we just decided we were all going to scream that at the same time. And the door was open from the warehouse into the suited area where everyone was dressed like Michael J. Fox and out of nowhere. And if it was just really quiet summer day, the entire warehouse screamed at the top of their lungs, just went, wah, 7:37. Right? And I remember the boss fucking picked his so stupid. I don't know why we did it. Picked his fucking head up. And his boss immediately came running in. And he's going, they're yelling? They're yelling out here? What? Like we were animals. Like, what are they doing? And then he got fucking, I almost said balled out. This is how old this story is. Remember that expression?
Balled out.
He got yelled at. And then he came out. And he had this high-pitched voice. And he'd be like, you know, come on, you guys, you know, you're out here, blah, blah, blah. And then whenever he would talk, we would just do this impression of him back. We wouldn't even listen. We would just be going, come on, you guys, I love the trucks. And then he would just be frustrated and would walk away shaking his head. And we'd just be like, bunch of babies, just a bunch of babies. And we wouldn't listen to anybody. Like the level of mad that he had to get, because he used to be us, and then he got promoted.
Ah, there you go.
And then that's what it was. Like, I've often wondered how Bill Russell was able to coach his players, even though they all won together, and he was the legend. He had nine rings at that point, 10 rings before he got his 11th. Like, there's just something about like, dude, you're telling me to run the stairs now? Give me a fucking break.
Exactly. That's where. Yeah. Come on.
All right, let me. I got to read one more advertising here. My little more Paul Harvey thing here, and then I got to go.
Good day.
What do we got here? Is this it? We got a couple here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, eVoice. If you're an entrepreneur and a customer calls, do you want to seem like you're in a high-rise, window-view, fancy pants office, or do you want them to know you're sitting in your underwear? With eVoice, you can create the appearance of an entire building. Sales, customer support, tech support, you name it. They're going to think you got a giant office. Give your customers the royal treatment with eVoice. eVoice will forward business calls to your home, mobile, or any number you choose. Wherever you are, eVoice will find you. Don't have time to take a call? No problem. It's routed to your voicemail, and you can read it at your convenience as an email. eVoice not only gives you an edge over competitors, it takes away the edge that big companies have over you right now. Why? Because you can appear that you're just as big as they are. And now you can try eVoice for 30 days for free. Go to eVoice.com, use the promo code Bill. That's eVoice.com, promo code Bill, B-I-L-L, or just go to the podcast page for BillBird.com and click on the eVoice banner. Last but certainly not least, LegalZoom, everybody. Most Americans do not have a will. But why? I don't know, because they don't have a pot to piss in.
Yeah, that's why I don't have a will.
That's what I would guess. But if you do, if you do have a pot and it is filled with piss, you don't want government rules dictating what happens to you, to your property and your minor children. A lot of people have children. Here we go. This is why. So why procrastinate? Most people say it's too expensive, too time-consuming. I don't want to do it. My answer is LegalZoom.com. Too expensive? You're going to love LegalZoom's responsible prices. Too time-consuming? I love these questions. Most people finish the online process in just 20 minutes. And we're not just talking some fill-in-the-blank form. Your will is estate-specific and personalized based on your information. Best of all, LegalZoom has 12 years of experience helping people with important legal matters. It's National Make-A-Will Month, everybody. Every month is. I've been saying this for 3 months. So don't wait any longer. Go to LegalZoom.com today and get 15% off your last will, but this offer ends soon. Or get a legal trust and you'll receive a power over will absolutely free. To get your special discount, be sure to enter Burr in the referral box at checkout for wills, powers of attorney, and trust, and more.
Go to LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific direction or connect you with attorneys, but they are not a legal law firm. There we go. You know what? I think I just read advertising from last month.
I like how they basically I like how that basically they say everything in a roundabout way of basically saying,
please don't trash my advertisers.
Do it before you're dead.
Oh, wait.
They're basically saying, do it before you're dead.
I wasn't supposed to read LegalZoom. I messed up. So they got a free one in there. That's
why. Did
they? You know, that's why I keep saying it's National Make-A-Will Month.
Yeah, who? Really?
No, I didn't. Well, there's always something. Like, I remember one time I was in Atlanta, and it was National Blueberry Pancake Day. You know, from the people who bring you blueberries comes Blueberry Pancake Day. It's just like, it's like naming a star, except there's only 365. All right, let's move on here. Where are we in the podcast? Oh, by the way, how's the...
Oh, she's looking good.
Did you peek?
Oh, yeah, I just peeked. She's looking good. There's a
if
little,
you're looking, we're you're
right
not cooking.
We're right at 275. Well, I wanted to make sure that the chips were, you know, needed any... We got, you know, we're adding, you know, apple, soaked apple chips to this bad boy. We're smoking them.
Oh, what did you start with?
The apple.
You start with the apple?
Yeah, just sprinkle it.
But we're going to get some hickory in there?
Yeah,
I want the smoky taste.
We'll back end it with some hickory.
Yeah. Don't give me the Coors Light of smoked fucking pig butt.
No.
All right. Need to stop being a nervous cunt. This is going to be the last one here, people. Billy Redface. Love the podcast. Oh, speaking of Redface, the Red State Tour, it got splintered because of the acting work. So
splintered.
But I'm making up all of them. So this week is going to be Boulder in Pikes Peak on Wednesday and Friday. Thursday we have off. Dum 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 dum.
Ba da ba da
ba da ba 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 ba. We're going to the Broncos Ravens game.
My buddy in Vegas this weekend. He wanted me to ask you. He goes, because you know when you under the disguise, I'm from Cleveland. Everybody originally, if you haven't known that. But the funny thing is, when I told my boys this weekend I was going to the Broncos-Ravens game, they're like, well, does the guy not like you? Because, you know, the Ravens are the Browns, and the Broncos, like, put it in our heart, like, nine times in the
But you
80s.
Got, you guys, no, I was just oh, like, but no, but it has nothing to do with that's the actual Cleveland Brown franchise at this point. You just hate the Ravens.
Well, because they're the Browns. Yeah, originally because they're the Browns, sure. Of course.
Right.
Yeah, we still hate them because of that. That's why we hate them. And they're in our division, and they
does Ozzie
the Browns
Newsom
go to
still
the Ravens and win a Super Bowl twice. And you know what I mean?
Does Ozzie Newsom still work for them?
Yeah, that's the problem. He's the only guy that went with Modell, and he's been running that team. And he had just gotten the job. Like he was an ex-player. He had just gotten the job as president of football operations when we were in Cleveland. They leave town. He goes. They got two Super Bowls.
Do you know why you guys never get? I don't know if you would want the attention. Because I lived through it. It sucks. You don't want to be like, oh, the sports misery capital of the world.
Yeah,
the reason
fun.
Why
I
you guys
care.
Don't get the attention is because you're not rivals with New York City.
Right.
I think that's why we got what we did, because it was Yankees, Red Sox. And then, like, well, you know what it was?
The Browns get a little bit of that because we're a Steeler rival. Well, we're not even considered a rival anymore. The Pittsburgh doesn't even worry about us. But We the Browns specifically do kind of have that moniker in the NFL kind of realm because of that Steeler rivalry, and they've won six. But you know what's crazy is if you go back and count NFL championships and Super Bowls combined, we still have more. We have seven NFL championships.
And I think it's so fucking ridiculous that they don't count NFL championships, because the Green Bay Packers are the Yankees of football.
Oh, yeah.
And they've won in all eras. They had a rough – the 70s and 80s were rough for them, all right, when the Lynn Dickey –
yeah.
Years. But even then, they had James Lofton. You know, at one point, they had James Lofton and John Jefferson.
That's crazy.
And they had nobody to throw the ball to. One of the worst moves a player ever made. John Jefferson said he went from the San Diego Chargers, Air Coryell, with Dan Fouts. And he signed for more money to play in frozen fucking Green Bay. It wasn't Lynn Dickey at that point. I forget who. But
was it the Magic Man?
No, it was before the Magic Man. Whoever the fuck they had in between there, they just went through a bad period.
Yeah.
And he said, if I stayed in San Diego, Jerry Rice would be breaking all my records. And I'm telling you,
he
wasn't lying.
No doubt.
He was unreal. Him and I remember Wes Chandler.
Oh, Wes Chandler.
Wes Chandler in that strike year where the Redskins won it. He fucking... he still had over 1,000 yards. That's how much they were throwing it.
Really? Those guys only played like 12 games, didn't they?
Less than that, dude. They played like 8 or 9.
The
I want to say the Redskins were like 8-1 that year.
Yeah, because the Scrubs played like 4 of them, right? Or the, whatever they called them.
Oh, was that year? The Scabs. The
Scabs.
Yeah.
That guy was telling you about yesterday.
Here's something that I find fascinating. It's just how like certain teams just they get new coaches, they get new owners and blah, blah, blah. But they just still – there's this thing where they just – like the Giants will always just have a great defense. The Bears always have a good defense. But they, for the life of them, the Bears have never had a superstar quarterback ever. Even Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon was a personality. He was like the downtown Julie Brown of quarterbacks, right? Like more like a socialite, I would put him.
He couldn't jump. He couldn't carry you on his back in the fourth quarter like an Elway or a Montana. Yeah. He wasn't that kind of a guy.
They've never had that. Cleveland. Otto Graham maybe was your last superstar? Well,
Bernie was tough, man.
Bernie Kosar. Okay.
Bernie was good. But yeah, really, I mean, we had Frank Ryan. A lot of people forget
Brian
Frank
Sipe.
Ryan. People forget Frank Ryan. Brian Sipe won an MVP in 81, almost won it again in 82. Frank Ryan was great. Frank Ryan, I believe, has
Dude,
the
Brian
greatest.
Sipe, Rick Springfield. Same guy? I'm telling you.
Same guy?
When I think of him.
But Frank Ryan, though, a lot of people don't realize, I think Frank Ryan has the greatest winning percentage of any starting quarterback in the history of the NFL. He came after Otto Graham, but he was winning Paul Brown. They were still winning titles, like just winning titles left and right all the time.
Had Bill Belichick for 1 year.
Last time we won a playoff game, we beat the New England Patriots, and Bill Belichick was our coach.
Yep.
And the last time, 94, I was at that game. Wild card game in Cleveland Stadium. The last time we have won a playoff, we beat.
What do you think, Peyton Manning, Wes Welker?
I love that matchup.
Two wily veterans. That's like Stabler Blitnikoff.
I think we're going to see a 45-38er Thursday night.
You think so?
Yeah, Flacco. They can put. Dude, Baltimore's going to put up some points this year. They're going to have to because that defense ain't going to be as good as it used to be. We're going to see a ball game.
Yeah, but is Flacco that good?
Flacco's that good.
You think he can put up numbers like that? I'm not saying he's not a good quarterback because I think he's a good quarterback. I didn't believe in him forever, and I was wrong.
That playoff run, man. I think that playoff run showed it.
But is he like – he's going to go fucking touchdown for touchdown against Manning?
Well, I mean, maybe not all season long, but in this game –
You know what's funny about Manning is like everybody was looking at him like he was a little fragile China doll, and now that he made the season, nobody's even thinking about it. Like he one hit, they were showing his spinal cord. This guy could never walk again, and now nobody's talking about it.
Some of them are predicting him to win the MVP award this year.
Longest neck since Steve Grogan.
Merton Hanks
is another good one.
Steve Grogan too. Steve Grogan had to wear like 2 neck braces just to pile them up.
Yeah. Well, they have all that flesh between the shoulder pad and the helmet.
Yeah, like 2 or 3 of them just stacked on top of each other.
We'll see. Yeah, I think this is my prediction on Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow's going to get cut, and he's going to go to the CFL. He's going to become a superstar up there like Doug Flutie did, and he's going to come back the end of his career either with Buffalo or with the Bears.
Really?
That's my prediction.
You think he's going to the CFL?
CFL, yes, sir.
You heard it here tonight. Monday morning podcast.
Yeah, he'll be able to run around because that field's like 100 yards in both directions, right? Or meters, whatever the fuck they say.
It's 110 long and I think 60 wide.
See what I'm saying? Just when you guys thought I was a sports fan, this is why I go to him. He fucking knows everything. All right. Need to stop being a nervous cunt. Billy Redface, love the podcast. As soon as I have a need for any of the services that are advertised in your show, I'll make sure I go there. So, thank you. This may not rate. Jesus, get to the fucking point. I'm dying a slow death working a day job that isn't fun anymore. The money's great. I'm 32 and make a mid 6-figure salary. But like you, I'm not really motivated by more money. I would much rather, I dream on a daily basis. He wrote that all in capital letters about doing comedy full time. All right, Jay, this guy's making mid 6 figures. He's 32 years
old. I'll trade you. You can have. I got 45 minutes. You can take it right now. Give me the mid 6 figures. I'm gone.
Stand up, improv, sketch, performing, writing, producing. I'd love to do it all. I'd love to do it all the time. But the flip side of not being motivated by more money is being motivated by the fear of not having enough. See, I'm a nervous cunt, as you would say. Well, dude, once you're making mid 6 figures and you're 32 years old, you're not nervous. You're also kind of rational, okay? You like that's why you try and start as young as you can because you're stepping off a curb rather than a fucking 3-story building at this point that you
own and have tenants in.
I didn't start till I was 31.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And what's his face retired Dangerfield, and he came back. I'm not discouraging the guy. I'm just saying that he's not.
But I wasn't making six figures. I don't think I would have jumped off the curb for that.
Right.
Man.
But he's not nervous, is what I'm saying. He's thinking rationally. So anyways, he goes, see, I'm a nervous cunt, as you would say, with the New Jersey mortgage, a.k.a. the land of high taxes, bills, and a three-year-old daughter. I can't bring myself to cut and run from the corporate country I work in. My wife and I have no debt other than the mortgage. Dude, that's great. That's great, man. And we generally live below our income level. That's also great. Those are two things you need to do.
Which people don't do anymore in this country.
Yeah, you really need to do that, man. But I don't think we live at or below the income that we'd have if I stopped killing myself on a daily basis by commuting to a fucking computer instead of commuting to a couch with a laptop and a giant cup of coffee just to work on Comedy Ship. I love shit. I love how he's romanticizing being a comedian.
Yeah.
Although he's kind of right. It's more coming out in your pajamas with a hangover, trying to figure out how to get that fucking whatever you picked up that night out of your hotel room. And then going downstairs and having a greasy breakfast to fucking, I don't know. Anyways, I have no frame of reference to know how much money could be made or how long it would take to make it. And I'm scared shitless that I don't have the talent or the balls or both to actually get paid to make people laugh. In spite of believing in All right, my friends tell me to practice the comedy shit. Dude, I can get right to the end of this. All right, this is what you got to do. You do both. Don't quit your fucking job. This is what you do. Write 5 minutes of material and go sign up for an open mic and try stand-up comedy. Okay? That way, if you go up and you eat your fucking balls and you hated it and it was humiliating and you don't ever want to do it again, you're not going to be sitting at your cubicle going, what if? You're going to be like, no, I tried it. I bombed and I didn't like it. Now, if you go down there and you go up and even if you bomb but you still like it, you know, which is a major fucking sign. If you bomb and you still like, I want to come back, then just keep coming back and keep doing that and just balancing it out. And you need to have a major talk with your wife and just say, listen, this is going to kill me if I never try this. I promise you that there's going to be no letdown me as a husband or a father here. But there will be, you know, a couple of nights a month at first just to see. I just have to know. Okay? And then if she goes, well, you're making mid six figures and blah, 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 blah. That's when you start pointing out all the morons that you listen to on podcasts that are making fucking money in this business. Okay? And I'm telling you, dude, if I can do it, anybody can fucking find a place. Well, not anybody. You know what I mean. If you have any sort of fucking talent, you can do it. Jay, I've watched
there,
you.
There
I've
is one
you.
Thing I'd watched, like to say real quick before you say that, because he's mentioned money a couple times. Like, he's like, and then I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference of how much money I could make if I could make any or da 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 da. The one thing is I don't think you can worry about that going into it because you know, you see them every day in the clubs in L.A. and everywhere else. Within 5 or 7 years, you could be a millionaire. And then, you know what? 5 or 7 years after that, nobody wants to work you. I mean, because
But that all goes down to what he was talking about. And it goes all down to that living within your means, paying down your house, not carrying credit card debt. Like, dude, these fucking people.
Doesn't mean that you couldn't be smart doing that and then still not make a dime 5 years after you were making a million. You know what I mean? In this business.
But there's people in the NFL, in the NBA, and in show business with their own TV shows living paycheck to paycheck because they're doing the exact same fucking thing that you do just at a much grander scale. And everybody goes, how the fuck could you fuck that up? And, you know, most people saying that are doing it at their level. Now, if you're not making any fucking money, I get living paycheck to paycheck, but if, you know, you don't need that extra pair of sneakers, you don't need another flat screen TV, you don't even need a fucking TV. There's ways you got to get out in front of it.
Yeah.
If when you're young, you got to start building up a fucking nest egg and you got to get on the internet, read some books, figure out how fucking evil the game is so you at least know how it's played so you can like take on as little water as you can and you can fucking stay afloat because you know, there's a lot of people want to do other things and they just got a ball and chain around their fucking neck
and it financially, and they just got themselves in this thing. So if you're in that situation, just immediately start fucking. Dude, I would have a yard sale and just start selling shit, downsizing my life. And if I had to take 2 years off from fucking living the American dream and just paying myself down and getting out of that fucking debt, I would do it and I would start over again. Because that shit will fucking keep you up at night. So,
and I mean, this guy talks like he's like, you know, he is good with his money and everything. But what I'm saying is, like, just be aware of the idea of the money of it isn't why. Because making mid six figures and what he's doing, 95% of the times, you can't go backwards. Usually, well, probably what he does for a living, once he hits 150 a year, the next step is 165 to 200 a year. That's not the formula in stand-up comedy. You can make 150 three years in a row, and guess what? By year four, you're making 45.
No, but this is the great thing about stand-up comedy, though.
Or you can make $2 million.
No, but what's great about stand-up comedy, though, is you're never unemployed.
True.
You're never unemployed.
You're never employed.
Unless you want to, unless your ego gets in the way. Where, like, say, you know, you were selling out clubs, you know, so you're just coming in doing Thursday through Saturday, I'm not doing the Sunday show. If it starts to taper off and they want you to do the Sunday show and you refuse to do it, you start doing that shit rather than being like, I got to get it going again, then you can get yourself in fucking trouble. But, like, you know, I don't know how actors do it. I don't know how musicians do it. That shit's fucking hard. But being a stand-up comic, once you start, you know, you've established yourself, you've made a name for yourself, if you never take your foot off the gas pedal and you just keep pushing yourself and you keep doing that, like, you can have the closest thing to job security. But even in his world, dude, like, they could downsize. They could fucking kick him out. And then he's at that weird age. So, dude, this is my advice. Don't quit your job, but I would definitely just start doing it. And there's nothing wrong if you always keep your job and you just do stand-up because you like doing it, or you start a sketch group with your friends and just have fun, and don't listen to any other comedians who are saying, like, you're taking my stage time. It isn't their stage time, all right? It's an art. It doesn't belong to anybody. It's supposed to make you happy and other people happy when you do it. So that's what I would do. All right? So good luck to you, sir. You're not a nervous cunt, okay? You're a fucking normal human being. Stop being hard on yourself. So there you go. There's the podcast for this week. Like I mentioned, me and Jason Lawhead, we're going to be at the Boulder Theater in Boulder. I believe that's the name of it.
I can't even wait to say that word when I get there. Isn't that that's like a voiceover's dream, is Boulder. That can go from like a beer commercial all the way to like a murder mystery show. Like, and in that quiet town of Boulder, it was murder. Or you could be like, you know,
when we were
the Rockies of cold water, Boulder. You know, like,
you ever watch that shit when they sit there and
I love those murder mystery shows.
Yeah, when they sit there and that guy just goes, you know, just be like, you know,
I want to do that.
It was a quiet town.
That's my dream
people
job.
The gazebo.
Yeah, that's
they
my
had
dream
4th
job.
Of July.
Yeah,
but the underbelly.
I want to do that every day.
Blah, blah, blah. That's all you do.
But on that quiet night. The town turned to murder. You know, I love that stuff, dude.
This wasn't supposed to happen in this town.
A town where they keep the doors unlocked at night.
Yeah, exactly.
You knew your neighbor.
People sat on porches drinking mint julep.
Yeah. Boulder's the perfect name that's a voiceover's dream.
Boulder, Colorado, September 4th. Pikes Peak Center, Colorado Springs on the 6th. Look for me and Jason. We're going to be looking for a tailgate. If you guys have any information, if you throw it down and you do it right, and you got some extra brisket or something.
And I'll be cheering for the Broncos, because all the years I cheered against them when they were playing the actual Browns, now they're playing the old Browns, who are in my division.
And I will definitely be cheering for the Broncos, because I've been so mean to Peyton Manning over the years. And now you get that thing where you're getting sentimental because he's in the final third. And then you don't. That's like Dr. J. I didn't hate him as much. Magic.
Yeah. Same with me with Michael
Jeter.
I hated Jordan because he killed us. And then as he got older, I'm like, I'm gonna miss that guy.
Yeah,
he's
I miss
great.
Seeing that guy. Yeah. So the Peyton Manning
never happened with LeBron, but I miss.
Dude, if LeBron, they talk about LeBron.
He ain't coming back to Cleveland.
No, going to the Lakers.
Oh, I know. It's a joke over.
Dude,
there.
If he goes to the Lakers and that championship is celebrated, then you know what I want. You know what they should do. They should literally have like. The pregame for that should literally be like eighth graders playing first graders in tackle football. And then doing long fucking interviews with the eighth graders when they won, talking about coming together as a team and all that type of shit. I'm telling you, dude, like.
He'll go to the Lakers and wear some stupid number like 49 or something. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it'll be just the worst.
It's what sports is becoming. And you know what? I saw some moron who was trying to say that pile-on teams are not a new thing. It was so dumb. He's trying to sit there saying, like, talking about, like, those Laker teams in the 80s and the Celtics. It's like, dude, those teams were built.
Built?
Yeah, through trades and drafts. It wasn't like Magic and James Worthy sat on a yacht during the offseason going, hey, man, wouldn't it be great if we all played in the same team? Fucking moron. This guy had the top 10 sports myths, and he tried to say that was his, but pile-on teams were a sports myth. It wasn't.
And go back and look at the teams that didn't win it in those eras that were built. I watched the NBA Hardwood Classics a couple weeks ago. They had the 1985 right. All-Star game on. Right. The Milwaukee Bucks had four guys on the Eastern All-Stars. They won seven straight 50-win seasons, all built through the draft and trades.
And this is what the guy was saying, though. His justification that they were pile-on teams, despite the fact nobody piled on, was that in the 80s, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Pistons were the only ones who won championships. Everybody else was without. And he goes, so it was good for the league. And that's complete bullshit, because what they didn't realize was that despite the fact that the Bucks never came through, they had Sidney Moncrief,
Jack Sigma, Terry Cummings,
Jack Sigma,
Paul Pressey.
Well, Jack Sigma was on the Sonics
before,
right,
but no, he
right.
came to the Bucks in the mid '80s. Sonics, he was in. He came to the Bucks.
Back then, you had blockbuster trades.
Yeah.
Like when Moses Malone went to the Sixers, there would be an occasion, or where Kareem went to the Lakers, but there wasn't like what happened in Boston, where just overnight, dude, we went from the worst team in the league to winning the championship, and we fucking go. We got Kevin Garnett for nothing from Kevin McHale. That should have been investigated. The same way the Lakers got Pau Gasol. Jerry West was with fucking, was that who it was? Was with the fucking
Grizzlies.
Grizzlies. Yeah, like both those trades were complete behind enemy lines bullshit. And then we got Ray Allen. That's why I wasn't upset when Ray went to Miami. I was like, well, dude, that's how we got him. He wasn't ours. He wasn't a Celtic. I still look at him like he's one of the greats that played for the organization, but it's a different thing where he was like, you become like a mercenary. Like they're bringing you in.
A couple weeks ago, LeBron had there was this big news that he tweeted.
This is going to add another hour to the podcast.
I'll end with this. A couple weeks ago, LeBron had this big news where he tweeted out his top three players of all time. Some big publication tweeted at him like, hey, LeBron, you've never talked about that. Ta-da-da. So everybody's right. Like on the edge of their seat. What's his big three? So he named, and I'm not going to be mad at the list in a way, because it's hard. It's so subjective. Three players, really. He said Larry Bird, which I thought that was pretty cool. Bird's the greatest small forward in the history of the game. I don't know if I'd put him on the greatest three list. He said Michael Jordan. Yeah, that's great. That's easy. And Dr. J. I love Dr. J. That's great. Maybe he's not. But how do you, I tweet back to him. I go, really? How do you leave Kareem off the list? I go, the guy won six titles, one of which in Milwaukee to boot. I go, that's kind of like a guy winning one in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
That'd be like if somebody won one in Cleveland, is what I said. I said he won one in Milwaukee to boot. How many have they won since? That'd be like somebody winning one in Cleveland. That's what I tweeted at him.
Jesus Christ. Very clever way of saying,
well,
thanks
yeah.
for leaving.
Thanks for leaving,
cunt.
Buddy. Exactly. So
well,
I
like Dr. J because
I love Doc.
Because this is why. Because a big thing with me is changing the game.
Yes.
And like,
that's fine. And I'm fine with that. Yeah. I'm not mad at his list. I'm just saying, how do you leave Kareem off? Kareem changed.
Well, that's the thing.
They outlawed the dunk in college basketball because of Kareem.
If I only had three, I would have to pick three guys who changed the game. So it would be Jordan, it would be Dr. J, and then I would have to be somebody else that I'm not aware of from the 60s. Like
Russell, I mean, you get
Oscar.
Yeah.
Was it Oscar Robinson who scored all the points?
Yeah, Oscar was great. I mean, people don't realize how great Bob Pettit was. I mean, Bob Pettit was a...
I know that there's somebody from that era, because that's one of those things with like stand-up where you had like what Lenny Bruce did, took it to, but first of all, you had the vaudeville guys, whoever the first guys to do that. Then you have what Lenny Bruce did. Then you had what Pryor did. And what Pryor did, I feel, is like what Jordan did. Well, there's just some guys that their genius is at such a level that you can't surpass it.
Yeah.
They almost take it to the end. I would say like James Brown. James Brown, the music that he made, there's been a zillion funk bands after him, but nobody ever took it to another level.
Changed the game.
Yeah, never
And I still
did.
Think Jabbar. I don't know how you can leave Jabbar off any list. He changed the game. He changed it. He won six titles. Magic never won one without him.
How
oldest player ever to win.
Game? How did he change the game?
He changed the game by, well, first off, they outlawed dunking, right?
But they did that with Will Chamberlain because in the NBA, too, though.
No, because of, here's how he changed the game. Both ends of the floor, he was Russell. Russell couldn't do what Jabbar did on the offensive end. You can say Wilt Chamberlain, yeah, he was dominant, but because they moved Jabbar away from the basket, Chamberlain couldn't do anything away from the basket. Jabbar developed the sky hook from 20 feet out, and he was Russell on both ends of the court. And Russell couldn't play offensively like Jabbar could. It's not even close. Jabbar, the fact that he won, oldest man ever to win a Finals MVP award, the guy won the NBA. He won the NBA Finals MVP at 38. I mean, come on, man. In a young
hey,
man's
dude, I'm not arguing with you. I just like hearing, like, seriously, dude.
He's
like,
the greatest.
You got, what's the name of your podcast, by the
Law
way?
Lawhead's Court.
Yeah, if you want to listen to a guy sports who really podcast. Knows sports
got,
as opposed to me being
some
loudmouth.
I got Brady Anderson calling in tomorrow, former Oriole. Brady Anderson, first guy to hit 50. So it should be an interesting conversation. I met Brady at the Hollywood Improv a few weeks ago. Got him in.
Oh, that's great.
Dude, you remember, you know, Dan Godfrey from Irvine Improv?
Yeah.
Remember Dan, big Orioles
oh, yeah,
fan?
Yeah.
So I'm ducking in there a couple weeks ago because I hear Attell's in town. So I was over at the store. So I duck in. I wanted to see David Attell set. Well, the place is packed. Quick story. There's a line, and, you know, the door guy I know works at Improv. I'm just squeezing by going like, hey, I'm going to go to the bar and try to peek my head in to see Attell. And there's this girl, like, arguing with the door guy. She's like, but my friends are in there. He's like, I can't let you in. It's full. She's like, but my friends are in there. And I look over as I'm, like, squeaking by. I look, and she's with Brady Anderson. I can pick out an athlete. He ended his career as an Indian, and I met him in Cleveland one time just down in the flats after a game. He was a cool guy.
So what'd you do?
So I was like, so she's arguing. So I was just like, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, hey, good. I go, hey, man, I'm a fan. I'm from Cleveland, actually. He's like, oh, cool, man, Brady. I'm like, Jason. He's like, and then she goes, she sees it. She's like, do you know anybody here? I'm like, well, I'm a comic, but I'm not working tonight. She's like, can you help us get in? I'm like, I don't know. And I just, Dan Godfrey is now the, like, district manager. So, right. But he's never
so did you get, him in?
Yeah,
I just got to end the podcast,
boom, yeah.
too.
I'm like,
you got him in?
Got him in. He gives me his phone number. He's like, anytime you want tickets, thanks for getting me in, dude. He gives me his phone number. He's like, come to Baltimore.
So when can they hear him? When can they hear him on the podcast?
They'll be hearing him this Thursday. The podcast will drop. I'm interviewing him tomorrow via phone. It'll be this Thursday. Brady Anderson, man.
All right. On Lawhead's Court. Look for it. Jason Law, everybody.
Got to go check that pork shoulder.
Rose Bowl tailgate legend. Jay Lawhead just tripped over a box. There goes the legend part. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Have a happy Labor Day. Go fuck yourselves. I'll talk to you next week. Oh, wait, I got to do, what am I doing? I got to do the wrap-up here. Are you still there? How many of you? Shut it off. I got to do the wrap-up. Ah, fucking goddamn it. Why the oh, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm a fucking idiot. Where is it? Are you serious? You know what? I'm actually glad half the people shut this fucking thing off. This is just extra time at this point. You know? I had a nice build-up. I had a nice ending. Now the page isn't going to load. All right. Live reads. Where's the wrap-up? The wrap-up. Oh, it's on the other thing, right? Oh, Jesus. Here we go. The wrap-up. Okay, here we go. Hey, everybody. Now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, or smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to the podcast page at billbird.com and click on the Hulu Plus banner, or go to huluplus.com/bill. That's huluplus.com/bill. Have a great holiday weekend. I'll talk to you guys next week.